Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, June 24th, 2015. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Gold today.
Wait, if we're going to have an extra day this week, if we had two 24ths or 25ths or whatever.
Perhaps.
Does that mean I get an extra day's pay?
I have no idea. Do you work? But anyway, we have today Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs this afternoon, and she'll be joining us right after the market report. So let's get right to the market report today. We have gold down currently in the New York spot price after market exchange, looking down $4 at $11.75. You have silver up 3 cents today at $15.97. We have platinum up 7 at $1,078, and we have palladium down 2 at $698. The USDX today is trading a little bit weaker, 0.17 at $95.27. Crude oil just reversed those numbers, down 71 at $60.30. And the paper markets today, the Dow was down triple digits, but, you know, it's becoming a common theme here. 17,966 at 177. You know, when it's down over 800 points, you know, then that'll get people's attention. The NASDAQ down 37 at 5122. And you have the S&P down 15 at 2108. And, I guess most of the consensus out there is it's all based on everyone focused on Greece this week. And, of course, they were holding more meetings today in Brussels trying to finalize and a new funding deal. But the last report I saw was that was not going too well. So we'll talk about that a little bit later after Wendy Wilson joins us today. The 10-year yield today, 2.37%, down 0.04, the euro 1.12, that was up just a little bit. Of course, the seesaw factor there with the U.S. dollar. European markets, you know, Germany wasn't down about, two-thirds of a percent. London, you know, basically unchanged. Same way with Japan and the Hong Kong. And Japan wasn't able, it carried through a little bit, but I saw that it hit an 18-year high. So 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We have Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Yes, it's Wendy Wednesdays.
Yep,
yes.
Wendy Wednesdays.
Yes. Well, I thought
what you got for us today?
Yeah, I thought we'd talk about the complex nutrition in some of our foods. But, you know, health shouldn't be complex. Let the food be complex. But I think good health is pretty simple if we just pay attention. Well, let me ask you, Al, Melanie, did you ever have a family member or a friend that likes to tinker with stuff, you know, kind of take it apart, put it back together?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? No?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, hopefully when they put stuff back together, there aren't any pieces left over, right? Well, that's what science likes to do with nutritional elements and foods. They like to isolate, take them apart. And, you know, this can be helpful information, but it also can be dangerous. So scientists will isolate nutritional elements, and then they like to trademark them as synthetic copycats. So we're going to take a look at the input, the potential of what these synthetic copycats can do. But first, I have an analogy for you. I'm sure you guys remember Rubik's Cube, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And for those of you out there that don't, it was a plastic piece and it was movable, little colored squares, and you'd have to unjumble the colored squares so they were all lined up and put in order. So with regards to nutrients and food, we find that they can have a very complex chemical profile, and these elements work together for a specific purpose. So isolating one of these to use as a supplement will not offer the same benefit. So imagine one of the squares on the Rubik's Cube that's missing. You don't know what color it is, and you don't know if you can complete the task. May make it more difficult, but you may be able to get all the colors lined up except for that one. So, you know, these are nutritional elements, the same thing. It's an analogy. The next time you're searching for supplements out there, know that if you're buying an isolated one, think of that Rubik's Cube with the square missing, okay? I want to read you a quote by Dr. Joseph Mercola. He says, isolated nutrients or synthetic nutrients are not natural in that they are never found themselves in nature, isolated. So taking these isolated nutrients, especially at the ultra-high doses found in formulas today, it's more like taking a drug. So studies show that the body treats these isolated or synthetic nutrients like xenobiotics, which is a foreign substance. So I know, and there's probably lots of listeners out there looking at their kitchen counter right now with all these bottles of chemical supplements on there. And then some
you're
people
actually,
say, well,
we're not just, you know, to put a fine point on it, you're talking about the vitamin and mineral supplements that people routinely. Oh, okay. And you're saying that's not ideal. What is better is a food substance that is complete.
Right.
Not just complex, but complete, rather than these synthetic separate. They're incomplete.
Absolutely, and let's take an example because some people say, "Well, isn't some nutrition, even if it's synthetic, better than none at all?" Well, let's say you purchase some vitamin C, which is ascorbic acid. A lot of people do to prevent colds and flu during the winter months. It's not hard to find these products at grocery stores, drug stores, and vitamin shops. So this supplement really is a synthetic chemical used in a majority of products, but consumers associate ascorbic acid as a natural ingredient or a nickname, vitamin C. So you can't blame consumers because these products have the marketing down to a science. It's convinced them it's all natural. Let's face it, Al, if you had the choice between two products and one had on the packaging high in vitamin C, you'd buy that one, right?
Either that or maybe shoplifted, I don't know, but that would be the one I'd try to get.
Well, everybody's been conditioned to look for this at purchase point, and, you know, they're getting a lot of junk supplements. Now, manufacturers have caught on to this, so they'll load their regular products up with ascorbic acid just to make that selling point so they make more sales. However, what is the fake vitamin C doing inside your body? Well, Mercola says this, not only are isolated nutrients treated like drugs or other chemicals by your body, like drugs, that can create problems for you too. So nature does not produce any nutrient in isolated form. So the nutrients and foods are blended together in a specific way to work best in that format. So for an isolated nutrient to work properly in your body, it needs all the other parts that were there in nature present in that food too. Or it's going to draw from your nutritional stores to make up what's missing. And this is why Mercola and others make this point that you may start out using a product, an isolated chemical product, and it might work for a while, but then it stops working because it's depleted your nutritional stores of the things that are missing. And actually, that's kind of dangerous, he says, because now you've just gone from fortification to depletion. It's bad. Okay.
You know, I've actually experienced that without understanding clearly what was happening. But I've understood for years, I mean, maybe decades, you can take vitamins, and I get they perk me up for 3-4 weeks after I start on a new set of on a new kind of vitamin. Mm-hmm. But then next thing you know, you're back to normal again. I get a boost for 30 days or so, and then I fall back to my, I don't feel boosted anymore. It's just, I'm still taking the vitamin, but I'm not getting an advantage out of it, and perhaps that's what you're talking about.
Right. Well, there are some studies. The folks at the Home Economist came across some important studies regarding mega doses of nutrients, including our fake vitamin C. For instance, the Journal of Science in June of 2001 found that inside the human body, the synthetic drug, let's say ascorbic acid, can actually cause genotoxins, like Dr. Mercola pointed out. And these genotoxins can increase your risk of cancer, according to their research. Now, the American Heart Association also reported in March of 2000 that there is a definite link between daily doses of 500 milligrams of ascorbic acid and the thickening of arteries. And then finally, the Journal of Clinical Nutrition in their January 2008 issue reported that athletes who take 1,000 milligrams of ascorbic acid a day reduced their endurance because it was determined that the fake vitamin C interfered with the body's antioxidant enzymes. So another thing is vitamin C offers it attacks bacteria, so it's not discretionary, so it'll get rid of good gut flora as well. And this is probably why when you take a lot of it, you get diarrhea, okay? But here's some foods that have some wonderful natural vitamin C with all the other elements so the body can use it properly. Your bell peppers, of course, citrus fruits, melons, broccoli, tomatoes, just to name a few. And also you have herbs with mega doses. If you need a higher content of vitamin C, your herbs will be more of a medicinal punch, but it'll also have that complex balance that nature put into there. So things like horseradish, rose hips, aloe, red clover, barley grass, lobelia, parsley root, and hops flower, just a few of those. So real vitamin C, guess what, Al, has antioxidants. It'll help you heal wounds faster. And also, when you cook your foods, you do lose vitamin C. So if you can, you eat your broccoli raw. Other benefits of real vitamin C are going to be it protects you from glaucoma, inflammation, periodontal gum disease. And also in the summer months, like right now, you will tolerate the heat much better. So that's important. And if you're asthmatic, if you have asthma, you'll want some natural vitamin C going because it will help regulate your vasodilating prostaglandins to relieve your chest tightness. And also it helps prevent, as we know, real vitamin C prevents scurvy, right?
I understand.
Sailor, that's important.
Let me ask you this. When we're talking about vitamin C, some people are taking 1,000 grams a day, 2,000, whatever. And yet the minimum daily requirement posted by the government, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to assume it's much smaller.
Yes,
are we coming to the conclusion that the government's minimum daily requirements might be reasonable, at least in terms of all natural sources, rather than going to the isolated synthetics?
Well,
you see what I'm saying? Are we reaching a point where, oh my God, the government was right?
Well, when you talk about natural organic substances of vitamin C, you can take the lower amounts and it'll have a better effect in the body than if you took mega doses of the synthetic. Science has already proved that many times over. So you don't have to take mega doses of it if you're getting in its original chemical source, okay? So the body's able to use a synergistic effect of the other nutrients that are with the vitamin C, so it works better. And by the way, over in Europe with the harmonization codes and everything, they are actually lowering the regulated limits of a lot of these nutrients, including your vitamin C. So even the synthetic ones, it may be like 250 is all you can get, or 100 milligrams is all you can get in the marketplace. And a lot of people say it's not worth buying. Well, in the synthetic, I'd agree. I would.
Let me ask you this. I don't know what the minimum daily requirement is for vitamin C that you'd recommend, but instead of talking in terms of milligrams, could you tell us in terms of halves of a lemon? How many lemons or halves of lemons or what would you recommend for a daily dose of vitamin C?
If you want some natural vitamin C and you're going to get it from your organic food sources, I think 3 servings a day would cover you with your vitamin C content as well as the other nutrients in there. So if you had fruit for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I think that's fine, or work in a fruit snack in the middle of the day if you're not having it with another meal. I think that would cover you. You'll be fine.
Well, I don't know. This is just so bizarre sometimes. There's things that I've just taken for granted for years. I'm not exactly a vitamin junkie, but I've got a bunch of bottles around. I take them once in a while. I don't take them all the time.
Well, maybe this will help. This is a quote from, again, Dr. Mercola. He says, it's not necessarily the amount of the nutrient you ingest that's important, but it's form and how much is bioavailable that counts the most. So if you're ingesting single isolated nutrients, it can create an imbalance. So the logic would dictate the higher the level of a single nutrient that you take, the quicker the imbalance will occur. Does that help?
Yeah, he's just saying moderation in all things. I don't remember who started that, if that was Plato or Socrates, but the idea has been around for centuries. And
sure.
That's what we're essentially saying. You don't need the mega doses. But what about we live in a nation, in a world where soil is increasingly depleted. It's difficult to get adequate nutrition out of our natural food.
Right.
Does that increase? Does it therefore become more sensible to take mega doses or at least large doses of the synthetics?
If you can get an organically grown product, you're going to have enough of your nutrient. Now, if you're getting conventionally grown, I'd say you're probably going to have to do some sort of supplementation if you're worried about it. Also, your medicinal herbs that have high level of vitamin C in them, this would be more than your normal food servings, like oranges, for instance. Now, if you get those in an organic, that could be your supplementation in the higher doses that you're looking for. So, in other words, you can get like alfalfa grass, which would probably deliver in one serving 1,000 milligrams of natural vitamin C, but with all the other complex nutrients that come along with it, so it won't deplete you. So, I mean, there's ways of doing it. So if you're worried and you think you need more and you're not getting it in the diet, then I would look at herbs, your medicinal herbs with the high vitamin C in there.
Are we looking at a time when perhaps a lot of people are going to just start growing their own? We're going to set up gardens in the backyard, not just to grow some tomatoes, but essentially to grow some supplements.
Absolutely.
A difference in emphasis here.
Absolutely. Actually, the folks over in the UK, over in the European Union, have this problem right now. They're trying to regulate to the maximum all these natural sources that people use for supplementation. And he says the problem is, according to the Alliance for Natural Health over there, they said the problem is thousands of people across Europe are growing herbal medicines right in their backyard for improving their quality of life. He says they're not taking them because they're sick. They're taking them to keep healthy. So, the problem is we can't license an herbal garden.
They'll find a way.
Backyard.
They're the government. Yeah. They can license everything. Wendy, why don't you give us a little contact information and...
Sure. Absolutely. We have a free catalog for those out there who want to learn more about our product offering, our all-organic herb products. It's on the website, thepowerherbs.com, but if they don't have the internet, the number to call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and we'll send them a free catalog in the mail. Thanks for having me.
All right, Wendy, thank you. Always appreciate your, illuminating presentations on Wendy Wednesdays. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. Her phone number is 866-229-3663. Give her a call. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I want to remind the listeners we have our 2015 special, 2015. That's an ongoing special. So anytime anybody is interested in calling about this special, just ask for our 2015. That's $2,015, and it includes today a 1 ounce gold buffalo. It's a 24-carat modern issue gold coin. The Gold Buffalo, American Minted, 21 ounce Silver Eagles, and one AU $5 Liberty Gold piece. That includes all your shipping costs for $2,015. So it's a great little package. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And folks, make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And of course, you can listen to these radio programs live from the website. And of course, you can listen to the archives in addition to the live program. Greece, Al.
Yep.
Again?
The never-ending story.
The never-ending story.
Exactly right. I don't remember who the characters were in the never-ending story. They had the big puppets, and I don't know what that was exactly. I don't know if I ever saw it, but I've seen the commercials for it, the trailers and whatever. But here we have here's from CNBC, Greek crisis. Zipra says no deal with creditors. This came in a few hours ago, was here this morning. According to Tsipras, he says certain institutions, and he's referring to the International Monetary Fund, certain institutions insist on not accepting equivalent measures suggested by the Greek government. The non-acceptance of equivalent measures has never happened before, neither in Ireland nor Portugal, nowhere. This strange stance could be hiding one of two things. They either don't want a deal, or they are serving certain interests in Greece. So what do you think, Melody? Do you think the IMF doesn't actually want a deal? Or are they engaged in a conspiracy theory with certain unnamed interests in Greece? Which do you think is more likely?
Well, you know, you had Greece made the gas deal with Russia. And maybe they're giving Greece a little, you know, sorry you did that, buddy. Your ties are becoming tighter with Russia. And, you know, we know your background. You're, you know, from a communist party and so forth. So maybe they're trying to, you know.
There are people who have vested interests in cutting the deal with Russia. And the Russian deal might not happen if the Greek bailout goes through with the European creditors, IMF and the European Central Bank.
I believe
that would be people who can make a buck, make some money. That's what it's all about, Melody, make some money. If you've got to turn down to destroy or ruin your own nation, who cares, as long as you can profit. It is actually conceivable that there might be forces in Greece that have a vested interest in seeing this bailout fail. Now, that's interesting to me because it's the first time I've even contemplated the possibility that Greece was not essentially united in its stance regarding the bailout. I don't mean that there was 100%, but, you know, everybody's pretty much on the same page. All right, certain amount of debate, but there might be people who can make money if this bailout fails. So.
Well, there's always those on the side that will make money.
Well, I
understand. There are always those that are involved that, you know, will try to get it to go their way. But
yeah,
I don't know if it's enough in order to keep the deal from getting done. I would think it'd be more along the lines from the IMF and the EU because Greece made the deal with Russia. I mean, that's a big deal.
I don't think it's that hard to keep this bailout from happening. We talked about this yesterday, the idea that the Greek ministers have been negotiating a potential bailout for the last 5 months without much success. But if assuming they do succeed, it's not their success doesn't mean they've approved the deal. It means then the deal on Thursday, the heads of state in Europe have to agree to this deal. And if they agree, then the whole deal has to be approved by the Greek parliament, and that approval is not a sure thing. There'll be elements of the Greek parliament that may just be enough to say, nope, we're not accepting. And then the fourth line is the people of Greece themselves. There could be another referendum, a vote on this. So there's four lines of approval. And if any one of them says, heck no, then the whole thing goes down the pipe. So
They're doing is they're all they're doing now is negotiating day in, day out. And you know when they're going to strike a deal?
At the last minute. So
exactly.
I don't know what it'll be the give me the day. What day, Melody? What day and what time?
June 30th, 11:59.
Well, I'm thinking
more times
of Friday. Friday, where they can get the Friday news programs. You understand?
No, they have till till the 30th, so that's what the deal is going to be.
I understand. But here's another excerpt from that, from the article I was reading from, again, from CNBC. And it says, Tsipras's Syriza-led coalition has only a 12-seat majority in the Greek parliament and may have difficulty selling the new deal to its own members of parliament. Okay? Even the Greek, the Syriza party may not agree to this new deal, assuming they make one. But it goes on and says, given this discontent, the chances of a second election this year in Greece are rising. Mm-hmm. At one election in January. Throughout the previous government, elected the Syriza party with Tsipras and as prime minister, and now they're saying there could be another election this year. I mean, the whole thing is just kind of a circus. You know, we need Calliope music. We need Calliope music to tell the story of Greece. So it's up for grabs. What's going to happen? I don't know. And I know that the story is going to drag on for a while, though. We're going to get at least another week or 10 days of Greece, Greece, Greece. And then we'll see. Maybe we'll have to look for another subject to talk about, Melody.
Maybe we could switch it to
be.
Maybe we could switch it to Italy, or maybe it will be the United States
or New Jersey. How about that? Or Texas. You know, we may be leaving. New Jersey may be unwanted. We may have to reject New Jersey. Somewhat like the European Union may have to reject Greece. Hard to say, cut it back to 49 states instead of 50. Or Texas may secede. Not too soon, though. It'll be a while before any of that happens. Here's something from the Congressional Budget Office, from the Examiner.com. Congressional Budget Office issues a dire warning for U.S. economy. Earlier this month, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office set forth a dire report for the outlook on the United States economy, and it said the long-term outlook for the federal budget has worsened dramatically over the past several years in the wake of the 2007-2009 recession and slow recovery. Between 2008 and 2012, financial turmoil and a severe drop in economic activity, combined with various policies implemented in response to those conditions, sharply reduced federal revenues and increased spending. As a result, budget deficits, that is to say debts, rose. They totaled $5.6 trillion in those 5 years, and in four of the 5 years, they were larger in relative size to the economy than they'd been at any year since 1946. Because of the large deficits, federal debt held by the public soared, nearly doubling. Oh, my gosh, imagine that. You know, the federal debt, it's not just that the federal debt is up, but the public bought half of the new debt. Right? Nearly doubling during the period and is now equivalent to about 74% of the economy's annual output or gross domestic product, a higher percentage than at any point in U.S. history except a seven-year period around World War II. The debt is now, according to them, 74% of the economy's annual output. Do you think that's a reliable statistic, Melody?
Well, I would, if anything, is probably a little to the low side. But...
yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way low. If assuming, this is interesting because the Congressional Budget Office back now 18 months, 24 months ago in that neighborhood, they admitted that the total the national debt, including unfunded liabilities, was over $200 trillion. That's basically 10 times greater than what is currently admitted. They say it was $18 trillion. Congressional Budget Office, a couple of years ago, they said, no, it's over $200 trillion. Lawrence Kotlikoff, he says, yep, that's about right. John Williams has previously calculated without unfunded liabilities, it's in the neighborhood of $100 trillion. And here they come. They're giving us a warning. Okay? There could be trouble. All right, 74% of the economy's annual output is the equivalent that we have that much in debt right now. And I'm saying, no, we don't. We have a good 10, 12 times as much debt if the previous estimates are correct. We already have multiple times as much debt as the GDP, the size of the annual GDP for the nation. And they're saying, they're giving us a warning. It's like sounding the alarm as the stern of the Titanic is beginning to sink underwater. That ship is already 90% gone. You understand? And here we are, they're sounding the alarm. What else have we got? Moreover, the debt would be on enough. They're warning that if we don't do something now, future deficits would grow from less than 3% of the GDP, that it would be annually a deficit of 3% of the GDP this year to more than 6% in 2040. 2040, Melody, that's just 25 years from now. Bunk! If we make it past 2020, we're going to be doing something extraordinary. I'm not worried about 2040, for God's sake. If we get through the next 5 years, we'll see. You know, we'll see how things work out. And they point out this from the Congressional Budget Office again. They say, moreover, the debt, even in 2040, would still be on an upward path relative to the size of the economy. Consequently, the policy changes needed to reduce debt to any given amount would become larger and larger over time. Oh my gosh, Melody, the more we borrow, the deeper we go into debt. Who'd have thought that was possible? But apparently the Congressional Budget Office is pointing this out to us. The rising debt could not be sustained indefinitely. The government's creditors would eventually begin to doubt its ability to cut spending or raise revenues by enough to pay the debt obligations. That's already here. Does anybody really believe the federal government is going to be able to pay the existing debt in full? I don't think anybody believes that. Now, we're already at that point. They're warning you we might eventually get to that point. And if we do, it would force the government to pay much higher interest rates to borrow money. Well, not as long as they can borrow from the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve continues to hold interest rates down around near zero. But all of this, we are already, they are warning, you know, I read this report, and it's as if they're saying, oh my gosh, the sky will fall on Wednesday. I'm saying, no, it fell back a couple of years ago, you know. We're already there. The report continues, or at least the article from CNBC continues. It says, we are now at the point at which tough decisions need to be made. We hear many politicians talk about balancing the budget, getting health care costs in line, and spurring the economy through job creation. Well, boy, I guess that's what we need. How about we create more jobs in China or maybe Mexico? Or we give more jobs to illegal aliens coming into this country. That's the way to create jobs. Now is the time for that action. Our country doesn't need more rhetoric. It needs action before it's too late, because the Congressional Budget Office warns eventually our creditors will cut off the cash flow. And ultimately what that means, we're going to have to pay our own bills in a timely manner. How will that work, Melody? What will happen if the government actually has to pay for whatever it promises? And it's a cash and carry basis. We don't have any credit anymore. We can't go any deeper into debt. The world will truly, I don't know, the sky will be falling for sure in chunks. Not just little bits of blue sky raining down like snowflakes. It'll be dropping like chunks and landing on people's cars and roofs and on their heads and so on, Melody. You understand?
Well, today they had the auction. I didn't get the full report. They had the auctions on the 5-year notes, and it was a very slow auction. And the when it was announced, the Dow did take a significant turn to the downside when that was announced. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a, just another sign, is you know, and when you look at the chart, it goes back, you know, five years on these. It is stationed at a point where, you know, there's going to be a lot of action here in the near future. So just another sign. And there was another report today. You know, you have all these powerful people, you know, and they're all insiders. They walk around and get treated like they're these smart investors and so
forth. Like they're
forth.
Bankers. But like they're, the
but they're nothing.
Bankers.
But they're nothing but insiders. And you have Carl Icahn. He's the dude who made a couple $1 billion on Netflix after only investing $300 million of his own money in 2012. You know, turns it into $2 billion. It wasn't by his smarts that did that. It was all inside trading. But anyway, he made an announcement today that investors need to be careful about the markets, and it's just a matter of time that this market is certainly overheated. And it's just to me, I don't think highly of these people, because you know they use the investor to come in, so they make the billions of dollars. They get out first, and then they make their little announcements about, well, you know what, the markets are a little overheated. But on the other hand, it's just it's just additional information, additional comments coming from.
Yeah, I know. It's coming from any place you turn right now.
Yeah.
That the market is in jeopardy. No one is going to be surprised if we see a significant decline in the equities markets and the bond markets. I mean, everybody's waiting for it, and it's just a question when it's going to happen. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back. We'll talk a little bit about market rigging here on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. And even though I begged and pleaded with Melody to let me talk about market rigging, she says no. She has a couple other articles she wants to talk about, so we're gonna have to listen to those other two articles. And if there's any time left, then I get to talk about market rigging. So go ahead, Melody.
Well, the two articles are brief. So that's all I'll say, Al. These are brief. Uh-huh. But today the... And it's just, these are just signs of how corrupt everything is in this country, and it's so disappointing. It sort of breaks your heart to see where this country and the corruption, and I don't know where I'm going with this, but the IRS is doing business with tax delinquent contractors, and despite a federal law that bars the tax agency from awarding contracts to these companies, and they awarded 17 businesses in 2012, 2013 that had tax debts, delinquent tax debts, and totaled more than $10 million, and the businesses were awarded 57 contracts worth nearly $19 million. And awarding contracts to these corporations with federal tax debt, of course, they're not supposed to do that. It's conflicting in there.
Plus, there's considerable irony that the agency that's doing this with these corporations is the Internal Revenue Service.
I know.
You can understand if the Fish and Game people, they did business with somebody who was behind on their taxes, they might not know what's going on, but you would think... If there was one agency who knew who was and who was not paying their income taxes, you would think it would be the Internal Revenue Service, but apparently not.
So, I mean, and some of them since then, of course, they were able to. They now have new income to pay their taxes from the IRS. So the next time anyone owes any IRS money, you go and tell them that you want a contract to see if that's a better way to pay back your taxes.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Dude, I mean, it makes government contracts all that much more lucrative if you don't have to pay taxes on them. We know we don't have to pay taxes because we haven't, and the IRS is letting us get away with it. So must be the case. No taxes.
Another report I saw today, the Export-Import Bank is to expire at the end of the month. Congress has failed to act. And you're going to hear a lot of these GOPs, the Tea Party-backed lawmakers, and who denounce this bank. And this is a 81-year-old bank, is a little-known federal agency that was created during the Depression. And it makes and guarantees loans to help overseas buyers purchase U.S. products from airplanes to bridges to baby clothes. You know, it helps the Boeing corporations, the GE corporations, the Caterpillar corporations, and this has been going on for 81 years. So
this is a way to subsidize the rich at the expense of the middle class and lower classes in this country.
Exactly. And this has been going on for 81 years that it was created during the Depression. And it's set to expire at the end of the month. And... It supports about $27 billion in U.S. exports last year, so they're not small numbers. And it still counts supporters in both parties, but you have the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. They've abandoned past support for the bank from the conservative wing. But what they will do is they will do nothing, and they will let it expire, and then they will attach it to a new bill that can't be turned down, and something like, let's say maybe the highway bill.
How about the bill to pay for all transgender operations? How about that one, Melody?
Well, maybe, but they'll attach it to some must-pass legislation extending the Federal Highway Trust Fund. That'll make it through the House, and that'll make it through... and that's supposed to go through in July. So, you know, they give it in one breath and they take it away in the next.
But they only they give it to the people that are paying them to give it to them. You know, when you talk about $28 billion to subsidize American exports, I guarantee you, whoever's getting the benefit of that is, you know, they make $1 billion, and they wind up. How much does it cost out of that to bribe the Congress? It doesn't cost $500 million. know, $1 million might be more than enough. Could get it done with a couple hundred thousand. It's cheap to buy these congressmen, to bribe them, but they're grateful. Hey, we've got to keep subsidizing these exporters because they give us a couple hundred thousand dollars and helps us to get reelected. It's just nuts. And the problem is not just that the government is increasingly and openly dominated by a bunch of hustlers and con artists and crooks. It's a problem that the American people don't seem to mind. It's okay. Yeah, as long as, you know, the only time they get upset is if the hustlers, con artists, and crooks directly rob us. Then they say, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. But as long as the hustlers, con artists, and crooks are giving us a cut of the loot, or at least we think we're getting a cut of the loot, we are just willing to go along with them. Just wink. It's fine. We don't care.
But we're not even getting a cut of the loot.
I know, but the illusion, you get the illusion, you think you're getting something. You know, but you're not. You're not getting a free lunch. You may not have to pay for your lunch right now, but still someone's going to have to pay for it. Who will it be? It'll be your children and your grandchildren. Or it may even be you who's going to pay for the free lunches that have been consumed by your parents and your grandparents. That bill is coming due. And when it does, there are going to be a lot of people that are, again, going to be shocked, I tell you. You know, they're going to be just astonished that they might actually be held accountable for all the debts this government has run up. And when that moment comes, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to change their whole idea about whether the government should run on debt instruments and whether the government should be allowed to go in debt, you know, run deficits. Uh-uh. If you don't have the money, don't spend it. And if you've got some brilliant idea for a new bureaucracy, a new agency, a new entitlement program, you better find the money because it isn't going to move one step forward until we get the money. Not by borrowing. You either raise taxes or take it from existing programs and cut them out, or you do without. Cash and carry, no more borrowing. But we aren't there yet. When we do, it'll be a surprise for everyone. Or for most people, at least, and they won't be the least bit pleased, but, you know.
And the last thing is the fast track for Obama. He's supposed to be heading to his desk later this afternoon. It passed in the Senate 60-38, and it's supposed to be heading to his desk this afternoon. And so.
Which is just another tribute. They aren't even going to tell us what's in this bill, that they're going to ram it down our throats as a tribute to the big spenders who are willing to bribe the congressmen and senators, and they're saying, damn the public, full speed ahead. All right, we got to do what we can to put money in the pockets of major exporters, multinational corporations, and if the public doesn't like it, screw them. That's what they're essentially saying to you and to me and to all the audience, and that's what the government's saying. If they want to do these things and they want to come out and expose it up front and say, here's what we're doing, but they're going to do this in secret and not let us catch a glimpse of what's happening before we are condemned or supposedly obligated to obey it. You know, this is the sort of thing that will inspire a lot of people who would otherwise be law-abiding to just sit back and say, look, the government's a bunch of crooks. Why not me? What's the difference? We can always, maybe, you know, even if we get caught, we can bribe our way out of the deal. I'm sure, I can't give you evidence to support it, but it just follows as a functional logic that an increasing number of government officials who might otherwise have been honest men and women, they look at what the government's doing and they say, what the heck, why shouldn't I take a bribe? Why not? Why not me? Government is not ethical, it's not honorable. And it's obvious.
And you know what, Al?
Is to look. And the people in government, the lower level bureaucrats, why not take a bribe? And what that means is, folks, you're going to be riding on an airplane that was inspected by an FAA inspector who took a bribe. And now you can bet whether or not they didn't actually need to do all the repairs. Is that plane going to land properly? And sooner or later, the answer is going to be no. Yeah. It just puts all of us in jeopardy. And I don't know how to end it. It seems like the only way it can end is painfully.
sometimes I wonder if they actually consider it as a bribe. You know, they try to bring things back to their states. They get, you know, they vacate, you know, they're not supposed to take any gifts or so forth, but you know, they all do somehow, some way. It just seems like all of a sudden they become wealthier than when they actually entered into the office.
Well, you know,
and one more thing I want to say about this TPP. You know, I was hearing about how these partners, these trade partners, the other countries, they were unwilling to sign into the agreement if the president didn't have the fast track status because they fear Congress. Well, why would I just don't get why
would
Congress,
they fear Congress
would otherwise.
Sure, a bunch of treasonous whores. They're for sale to the highest bidder.
They would fear that Congress would otherwise disassemble any of the terms that were come together between Obama and the other countries. So,
which means somebody in Congress, there might be enough support in Congress for doing what's right for the American
people.
Rather than for multinational corporations.
Yeah.
The whole thing is.
So it's just.
Well,
now you can talk about rigging.
Oh, well, now we got 2.5 minutes left or something like that. Now I can talk about rigging. I may save the rigging for another time, Melody. Just save that for another time. But in the meantime, I noticed, you know, we've had this big to-do about, oh, my gosh, the Confederate flag. It's time to get rid of the Confederate flag. And there is, you know, some people are going along with the idea. And some people are a little bit displeased, and some people are outright defying and denying. And what crosses my mind is this going to be another one of those episodes like when President Obama says, we're here to restrict the right to keep and bear arms. And what's he do? They sell another million firearms. As soon as he starts talking about it, sales jump. I'm wondering, do you suppose the sales are going to jump for Confederate flags? Huh?
Well,
and what about if right now Obama, it's in the news, he's thinking about increasing gun control again, doing what he can to minimize, keep the firearms out of the hands of the public. It's happening at the same time we have this problem with the Confederate flag. I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if I could sell a pistol. All right? Say a 9mm, maybe a rifle that has a Confederate flag built onto it. Huh? How about that, Melody? I think it would be a sure winner. I think it's the sort of thing everybody'd want one. Get yourself a rifle because Obama says he's going to increase gun control, and get a Confederate flag because they're going to get rid of the Confederate flags. I think it would be a statement, a political statement that the world is ready for and waiting for. What do you think, Melody?
You think so, Al?
Confederate flags on our firearms. I think it's a sales device that just can't help but succeed.
What surprises me, though, that I don't know what politician is standing up for the Confederate flag.
Oh, I doubt that anyone is.
Anyone is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, but it is part of our history.
Yeah, it is.
And it shouldn't be pushed under the rug. And, you know, you know, there's a lot of things I don't know about the Confederate flag, but there's a lot of things that I do know about the Confederate flag. And
Well, you know, one of the things...
They're eliminating our history.
Because we're out of time, but one of
the... They're eliminating our history because they're trying to redefine our future.
Well, part of it, but not just eliminating history, redefining history. You know, we are sold a bill of goods that we fought the Civil War to end slavery. That was secondary.
Yes, it was.
Washington Monument. Maybe we'll talk about this tomorrow because we're out of time today. But slavery was not the issue. All right. Before it was done,
it became the issue.
And it was the pretext for the horror of the Civil War. This, oh, we were fighting to free the slaves. Bunk. They were fighting to make a buck. We're gonna take a break right now. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We're out of time. Be back tomorrow on Financial Survival. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it? Never seen. seems to be a single penny left for me.